As we go around the NHL, brought to you by Herber's Auto Body. Don't trust your vehicle to an on-demand guesstimate. Herber's offers a free pre-repair inspection. Herber's Auto Body, like it never happened. We go out to Chicago. The Hawks have been very busy on the last week, as we're joined by Tab Bamford from the Fourth Period and ChicagoNow.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the number one Tab. Tab, in the last 11 games, in the last seven games, Jonathan Toews has 11 points. Has this been the best seven-game stretch for the captain?
Oh, yeah, by far. And I think getting healthy and then getting some consistent line mates has been huge for him. The Hawks, Joe Quenneville's pretty notorious for having the blender working early and often outside of the Kane, Panarin, and Anisimov line. And it looks like he's finally settled in with rookie Nick Schmaltz and Richard Panik on that top line with Jonathan Toews, and all three of them are performing pretty well right now.
It's a very busy week for the Hawks, three and four nights, but obviously they got the result they're hoping for against the Minnesota Wild and tonight against the Jets. That's a tough schedule, though, heading in before they have the bye week next week, isn't it? Three and four nights all on the road.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, the Hawks have had a pretty packed schedule early in the year, too. For a while, they were six games ahead of Minnesota in the games played column, so the Wild are starting to catch back up with them. And so, yeah, you know, it's a busy weekend. Minnesota's given the Hawks fits. Certainly the Winnipeg Jets have given the Hawks fits over the last couple years in the regular season. And Edmonton is certainly not going to be a pushover, and as they may have been a few years back when, you know, Sam Gagne is hanging 6 points on them at the United Center. So it's certainly not easy, but they've got the bye week on the backside. So you hope the veterans show the rookies that push it hard for a couple nights, and then you can exhale on Monday.
For whatever, like, can you explain why the Oilers have had such success against the Chicago Blackhawks in recent years? Like, we had the Gagne 8-point game was against the Hawks. They beat them 5-0 earlier this year at Rogers Place. Why have the Edmonton Oilers had the Hawks number?
You know, it's fascinating because it always seems like there's one team or one group that'll grab, you know, somebody at the top of the NHL by the neck and just not let go. And for a while, you know, Edmonton was that team. And I think when you're the Blackhawks or the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, they're, when you're on top of the league, and the LA Kings certainly as well, you're going to get the absolute best shot that the other team has. And a young, talented team that can skate is something that in the regular season, the Blackhawks have not always been able to perform their best against. And Edmonton's speed has given them fits over the last few years. And I think, you know, Gagne's familiarity with Patrick Kane from junior certainly helped. But yeah, it's something that you scratch your head and say, how does a team that is ending up with the number one pick rocking the team that ends up with, you know, either a Western Conference final or a cup final berth? But certainly Edmonton gave them nightmares.
We're joined by Tab Bamford from ChicagoNow.com as we go around the NHL. The Chicago Blackhawks in town tomorrow to face the Edmonton Oilers. We kicked off this interview talking about maybe the offensive struggles for Jonathan Toews, just 33 points in 46 games. His numbers have maybe dipped off, but Patrick Kane is still just under a point a game with 53 points in 55 games. With how much Toews has struggled offensively, how important has Kane been to this team this season?
You know, I think just the consistency, and it isn't just Kane. I think, you know, now that he's locked up for the next couple years, Panarin has also been, you know, a consistent guy. Anisimov is at or near career numbers already through, you know, 60, 65% of the season. So that line being consistently locked in on a nightly basis, I think is big for the Blackhawks, because Kane and Panarin both can get their own shot. And when other guys like Toews or, you know, Marian Hossa has gone through a couple dry stretches this year as well, when those guys aren't getting it, being able to look at one line almost every night, give you a goal or two, is really, really important. And that's why, you know, you might look at some of the raw numbers and wonder how the Blackhawks are sitting in second or third in the Western Conference. And it's because they've got dynamic guys like Panarin and Kane getting it done on a regular basis.
Tab Bamford joins us from ChicagoNow.com. Corey Crawford is one of the most consistent goalies that no one talks about. And so far in 36 starts, a GA just over 2.5, but a save percentage of 0.917. Again, Corey Crawford just doing what he does, giving the Hawks a chance to win most nights. Isn't that the case with Crawford?
Yeah, and, you know, he's after his appendectomy led to missing a game in Philly and missing a couple weeks. He had a rough stretch in early January where, you know, he had a sub-9 save percentage. Had a couple games where, you know, he'd give up two or three goals and you scratch your head a little bit. But he's starting to round back into form. And you're right. I mean, you talk about underappreciated goalies. He has passed Ed Belfour, Hall of Famer Ed Belfour, on the career wins list for the Chicago Blackhawks franchise. And people in Chicago talk about, why isn't Belfour's number retired? But the same people are wondering why Corey Crawford's making $6 million a year. So, you know, maybe that's partly Chicago fans, but when you've got a league where you've got some guys that make the sexy play like a Lundqvist or a Price, the quiet and consistent guys like Corey Crawford get taken for granted. But he has been a huge part of the Blackhawks' last two Stanley Cup wins, and he's been a big part of why they are where they are this season.
Last season, we saw Panarin have a great first year in the NHL with 77 points in 80 games, took home the Calder Trophy. 48 points in 55 games so far. Is he still on pace to do pretty much what he did last year, or is he maybe slowed down a bit, or has he adjusted to the NHL game, or is he really just doing exactly what he did last season?
You know, I think, you know, the Blackhawks aren't consistently possessing the puck this year as much as they have in the past. And last year, I think there were certainly until probably end of January, maybe Valentine's Day, there were teams that still wondered if Panarin was for real. Now everyone knows that he's for real. Yep. And frankly, I think a lot of teams are scared to death of that line with Patrick Kane and he together. But with the Blackhawks juggling the lines, they went through a stretch in November, December, where Taves and Hossa both missed a little bit of time, and trying to work, you know, four rookies into the lineup. He's moved around a little bit. He has not been as dynamic or almost a guaranteed point tonight as he was last year. But he's still scary dynamic. His one-timer is certainly not necessarily Ovechkin-like, maybe mini Ovechkin. Just based on the physical stature of the two. But yeah, he'll probably end up, you know, maybe not at 77 points, but certainly top 20 in the league, I guess. And he's still a guy that, as long as he's on a line with 88, teams have to be worried.
Tad Banford from ChicagoNow.com joins us. We go around the NHL for Herber's Auto Body. The Hawks are in Winnipeg tonight and Edmonton tomorrow to face the Oilers. The trade deadline just right around the corner, Tad. What do you think is priority number one for Stan Bowman at the trade deadline?
You know, I think for Chicago, it's health. They don't have a ton of cap space with the 2017 NHL draft at the United Center in Chicago. Stan Bowman has been pretty consistent in saying he wants to really make this a celebration of hockey in the United States and Canada, with the draft being at the United Center. So he wants to hoard as many picks as he can. I think the Hawks have got 10 so far. So I don't see them dumping picks for rentals like they have in the past. They're relying a lot on rookies like Ryan Hartman, Nick Schmaltz right now to provide some offense. So selling youngsters for rentals, again, I don't know if it makes sense for this team. So I think the biggest thing for the Hawks is staying healthy. If they do make an addition, a lot of people have linked the Hawks to some of the top, you know, forwards that might be out there. James Van Riemsdyk is one name, with his brother certainly playing for the Hawks. It's been a popular link. But I think if the Hawks do anything, they might look to add a veteran on the blue line. Because with Gustav Forsling still developing as a 20-year-old, Michael Kempney's been in and out of the lineup, and Michael Roosevelt just doesn't quite have it anymore. The Hawks might look to put a more physical presence on the blue line with Brian Campbell on that bottom pair that Joel Quenneville can trust on penalty kill and down the stretch in third periods. But with limited cap space and not wanting to move a lot of picks or young assets, there isn't a whole lot that the Hawks can do.
Tab, just a couple more for you. I appreciate you joining us. Right now, what type of town is Chicago? Obviously, the Hawks have won three Stanley Cups since 2010, but I think that baseball team is pretty popular in Chicago. So what's like the common Chicago fan? What is their team right now? Is it the Hawks, or is it still all Cubs all the time?
You know, I think if I took the temperature of Chicago right now, other than making you shiver and look for an extra layer of either fat or coat...
We're in Canada, man. It's freezing here, so you're not going to get any sympathy from us.
Oh, no, not at all. I think right now Chicago's probably a what's wrong with the Bulls town.
Okay.
Followed by, you know, there's still a lot of chatter about the Cubs, but I think with the Bulls and the Bears both being tire fires in their respective games, the Blackhawks are the show between baseball seasons. And with pitchers and catchers looking to report in the next week or so. I'm sure that the Cubs talk will pick up. The White Sox had a pretty bold offseason with the couple big trades that they made, supplementing the top end of the rotation in Boston. But this is a Cubs town. It always has been. Cubs and Bears really rule the show, and the Blackhawks have certainly been there during the Hull and Makita days in the early 80s when Steve Larmer, who should be in the Hall of Fame, and Denny Savard were skating around. And now it's a Blackhawks town. So I would say between the baseball seasons right now, it's pretty much all Blackhawks.
You'd mentioned it, so what's wrong with the Chicago Bulls? At least they're not banning former players from the arena, hey?
Yeah, it makes you feel better when you've got infighting like the Bulls have, and then you've got, an all-time legend in Charles Oakley, a former Bull.
Yep.
Getting run by the owner because he said a couple words. And then you have the subsequent PR disaster tweeting that the guy's got problems.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks, I think, of any professional sport right now, even the Cleveland Browns are thanking them for taking some of the eye off of them because it's unreal how bad things are at Madison Square Garden right now.
Tab, thanks for your time. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. And then enjoy the bye week. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you again soon.
That's Tab Bamford from Chicago.